is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. And we go to the question of nuclear weapons and deterrence. A new document published by a study group convened by the Center for Global Security Research at the Lawrence Livermore National Lab, dated spring 23, current, China's emergence as a second nuclear peer. Implications for U.S. nuclear deterrence strategy. Gordon and I welcome our colleague Peter Husey of the Hudson Institute to address the question of now and how. Peter, a very good evening to you. As I read in this document, the U.S. now is expecting the F-35 to have nuclear capability in 2024. It has a new class of Boomer submarine-carrying missiles on the way or planned in future. It's upgrading or intends to upgrade its silo sites. And there's the B-21 bomber that is either in production or about to be in production. All those weapon systems. The question now is it time for the deterrence to be reconsidered, reconfigured, because China is building a nuclear weapons arsenal of uncertain proportions? Is it warranted now for us to change our posture? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Gordon, and I appreciate being asked to come on your show. We are totally justified, and it's critical to go forward with the current plan of bombers, ICBMs, and submarines. They will begin to come into the force at the end of the decade, and the final submarine goes in the water 2042. The only other option is basically to disarm, because our legacy systems are so old that they're going to go out of business in over the next 10 or so years anyway, and it's been very difficult, probably impossible, to continue beyond that. The question you ask, and what the Lawrence Livermore Lab study group did, I had the director come and speak at Hudson just last week, and there were some additional things we should do, such as a Navy cruise missile, which would be nuclear armed, which gets around the question of where are we going to base it. If it's in the ocean, our allies in Europe and our allies in Asia like the extended deterrent, but they don't have to mess with deploying it on their land. We only have bombers in basically fighter aircraft in Europe that have gravity bombs. Those are the only what are called theater nuclear weapons that we have. But let me emphasize, our strategic systems, which you mentioned, they are also part of our extended deterrent. So, yes, we need to go forward with what we have now in the on the books. And we're, as I said, construction is going on in all three elements. And it'll take us until 2042 to complete that. But we need to add to that, which is the submarine cruise missile. Plus, there are a number of other things we might do in terms of expanding the force of submarines or ICBMs. And I think instead of 100 bombers for conventional and nuclear, we need 200. I'm not the only person that says that, but it's something we need to do.
Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, you've been talking about delivery systems, planes, subs, whatever. The United States has not actually detonated a nuclear device for about three decades. We have not ratified the comprehensive ban, test ban treaty, but we adhere to it. Will our devices actually go off if we want them to?
Well, the assumption by the National Nuclear Security Administration, and they have to certify this under law, is that stockpiled stewardship, which is what we started after we stopped testing, works. And you asked a very good question, is we haven't built new warheads in three decades or more. And our goal is to be able to produce 80 a year, but that may slip considerably. And so if we want to expand, we have some in the stockpile that we could use. But when you ask the question, do these things work? The assumption of our military and civilian commanders is, yes, Mr. President, they work. But the question is, as you said, we haven't tested. The Chinese and Russians do testing that is below the threshold that we can actually know they're testing. But I think testing a nuclear device underground would be very difficult politically. On the other hand, I share the concern of people who think it is needed militarily.
Arms control, Peter. The lesson in the Cold War was arms control went hand in hand with deterrence. Is it adequate to the scale of investment and platforms you're talking about?
That's a very good question. Russia and China have shown absolutely no interest in any additional arms control after 2026, which is when the New START treaty expires. Russia is the only party to it, along with the United States. China is under no obligation of any kind to limit what they do. And so my view is the only thing that arms control could do is transparency. At least let the other guys know what you got. But I don't see any prospects for any kind of arms control. The other problem is it doesn't solve your fundamental problem unless you're talking about getting rid of them all, which is never going to happen. So you have this couple problems, two big problems. Our military are concerned that every time they do a tabletop exercise where conventional weapons that the U.S. has prevail in a conflict, as soon as nuclear weapons are introduced, as they say, as Admiral Richard, a former STRAT commander and now General Cotton, have said, nothing holds. And that's shorthand for saying things all go to you know what. And so when nuclear weapons are introduced, China and Russia know this. And that's the threat we're now facing. And the only counter we have to that in the nuclear business is the airplanes in Europe, which have to drop gravity bombs, which means they have to go through air defenses and take considerable amount of time to get where they're going, which is why a Navy cruise missile aboard a submarine could actually fill that big gap, which Mr. Putin, that's why he's not talking about nuking New York. He's talking about using nuclear weapons in the Ukraine theater. And so arms control doesn't solve any of these problems. It could help for transparency reasons, which I'm in favor of. But getting China to come up on the table and actually even tell us what they have and what they're planning to have, that's a big stretch, Gordon, but and John. But could we might as well put it on the table, because it would be very necessary, number one. And number two, if we got some transparency, it would be very beneficial.
We have a little over a minute, Gordon. Go ahead.
Congress, under the Trump administration, actually authorized the development of the Navy cruise missile with the nuclear warhead. The Biden administration killed it. What's the status of that, Peter?
Right now, the House and Senate defense bills are on the floor, and the House and Senate, respectively. And the Navy cruise missile is in both bills to be developed, researched, tested, and deployed. The problem is we take a decade or more to deploy these things. So 2030, 1, 2, 3, somewhere in there, we would have it in the field. We could speed that up, which is, I hope we do. So it's in the bill. The administration sent out what's called a statement on an administration policy saying we don't like it, but they didn't threaten to veto the defense bill if the Navy cruise missile stays in there. Remarkably, the Senate Democrats on the Armed Services Committee voted to put it in, as did the Republicans in the House. So my hope is that we will get it through both houses and Senate and in the final bill that the president signed. So we're behind, Gordon, as you know, but at least we're moving in the right direction.
Peter Husey for the Hudson Institute on deterrence and the nuclear platforms, either existing or underway being built. This follows the document I recommend to everyone. From Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, China's emergence as a second nuclear peer. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bowden.